Good morning. It is so good to be here among you. We had a wonderful time yesterday with many of you, and I see some familiar faces already, and I look forward to meeting many more of you later at the potluck after the service. Now, about 10 years ago, a friend of mine had cataract surgery. And as you probably know, that's a fairly common surgery that tends to improve eyesight considerably for those who need it. And this was the case for her. But what I loved when I talked with her was her reaction to her better eyesight. She told me, it was like God had come into my house and painted everything. I wonder if this is what it was like for Philip and Nathaniel when they saw Jesus. It was like God had come and painted everything. Did everything seem more vivid, more intense? Was life filled with more color? In any case, the story of Jesus, Philip, and Nathaniel is filled with images of seeing, finding, and knowing. The story begins just after Jesus has seen and called Peter, Andrew, and another disciple. Now Jesus decides to go to Galilee. And the very first thing he does in Galilee is to find Philip and invite him to follow him. Follow me, he says. And then Philip immediately goes and finds Nathanael and tells him that he has found the Messiah. He says, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And so the story begins with being found. First, Philip is found. Even before he is looking for Jesus, he is found. I think this is significant for the life of faith. First, we are found and known and loved by God. That is the beginning of the faith journey. Everything starts with this truth. First, we are found and known and loved by God. Philip is so excited by being found, by meeting Jesus, by beginning this journey of faith, that he immediately goes and finds Nathanael. He wants to share this experience, this encounter with Jesus, even before he really knows that much about him. In fact, he gets things a little bit mixed up, a little bit wrong. He says that we have found, that he has found the Messiah, when was actually Jesus finding him. But Philip's excited, and he's ready to share this experience of Jesus. He can't wait until he knows more about him, till he has his theology down, till he knows exactly how to discuss this. He just needs to share this experience of Jesus. And so he tells Nathanael, with excitement. And Nathanael stomps all over his excitement. His excitement at this encounter with Jesus is met by almost insulting skepticism. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He didn't even humor Philip. He didn't even, nod politely. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is impossible, Philip. It couldn't be true. Messiahs don't come from Nazareth. They come from Jerusalem, or maybe from Bethlehem, depending which prophet you're reading, but not from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip, to his credit, is not put off. He continues the conversation with Nathanael. I don't know how I would have reacted to such skepticism, but I think Nathanael's comment would have shut me down, especially early in my journey with Jesus. I wouldn't have known what arguments to use, what logic would convince him of what seemed so significant and life-giving to me. It's not easy to meet such skepticism bordering on hostility. but Philip continues the relationship. He responds to Nathanael's skepticism, but not with arguments, not with great theological explanations, not with logic. He responds with an invitation that runs through the Gospel of John. Come and see. Come and see. When I was studying medieval history at the University of Toronto, I had a friend who called himself an anarchist. That's what he said his religion was, anarchy. He had a huge knowledge of other religions, but didn't claim any of them as his own. He knew more about Christianity than I did, I'm sure. One day we were talking and he challenged me and my faith. He said, if you truly believe in Jesus, and if your faith is truly important to you, and if you're passionate about this, and if you really love me, then why aren't you trying to convert me? If you're passionate about this, and if you believe that salvation comes through Jesus, then you should be doing whatever you can to bring that salvation to me. Why aren't you? I didn't have a good answer. I said something about method and how evangelism is done poorly and disrespectfully in different ways. I didn't want to subject him to that. I really didn't know how to answer. And I certainly didn't have any arguments to convince this well-informed friend. But I wonder, what if I had responded with an invitation? Come and see. Come and see God working in my church. Come and see God working in my life. What if I'd said, come and see? Those words imply a lot. First, they're invitational. They aren't argumentative, they're invitational. They aren't trying to prove anything or convince anyone. They aren't threatened by the skepticism and doubt. They acknowledge that it isn't my job to advertise for God or to create relationship with God. They're invitational words. Come and see. And they are confident words. They imply that there's something to see. That if you encounter this person, this Jesus, you will be transformed. Philip, in his brief time with Jesus, believed that all that was necessary to overcome Nathanael's skepticism was to meet Jesus. But I wonder if someone were to encounter my faith life, that is to say, my whole life, would they see God there? If I truly invited them to come and see, would they see Jesus in my faltering attempts at faithful living? And then I'm reminded that the story begins with being found by Jesus. And that before I come and see, I hear those words from Jesus, come and see. And I realize that any invitation is into my own journey of faith, my own response to Jesus' words, come and see. Those words are spoken to each one of us, wherever we are in our faith journey. Come and see. I think of where I have seen God in my own faith journey, in the call of the loons and the bright stars overhead on a canoe trip in Algonquin Park, in the music of Schütz and Bach that move my soul, in the midst of sometimes painful church processes where God has been present through the pain, in unexpected and unanticipated solutions when the way forward seems blocked. I've seen God in other people, a group gathered around me while with Mennonite Central Committee in Egypt, helping me discern whether to stay in Egypt or to go with MCC to Iraq. In youth, transformed by a service trip to Chicago. In journeying with others through my spiritual direction practice, noticing God together in different places in their lives. In my mother, following a nudge to come to London earlier than she'd planned and arriving just in time to support us and our children when Charlene's dad went into an emergency surgery. In fireflies filling the sky and offering hope just when we learned that Charlene's father would not recover from his illness. I've seen God in prayer, and especially when I've been on silent retreat and tromping through the woods. I've seen God over and over again in my children. These are places that I have seen God. And yet the invitation continues. Come and see. Come and see what more there is. Come and see God at work again and again. This is what happens with Nathanael as the story continues. Philip invites Nathanael to come and see, and then Jesus sees Nathanael and says of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asks him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answers, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Before Nathanael sees, Jesus sees him and knows him. Even before Philip calls him, he is known. Even before we come and see, we are seen and known by God. God's vision comes first. And Nathanael responds with this remarkable confession of faith. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." A confession of faith that doesn't really happen in the whole Gospel of Mark until the very end. And here it is, right in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. An admission that this is the Messiah, a significant step on the journey, but apparently not the final step. Jesus doesn't leave it there. There's always more to this journey with Jesus, this journey of faith. There's always more to see. Jesus says to Nathanael, "You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Humanity." As you continue the journey of faith, as you come and see, there will always be more of God to discover, always more of Jesus. Nathanael is again invited to come and see. And so are each one of us, seen by God, known deeply, loved, and invited. Invited again and again into relationship with Jesus, again and again into that journey of discovery, again and again to learn what God is doing in our lives and in the world. The invitation comes, sometimes gently, sometimes more insistently. Come and see. Come and see. Amen.